I really think the Lord wants us to have a whole lot more confidence that we hear from Him. And we're going to be speaking about that this morning. See, I think a lot of us feel like we're spiritually deaf. And it's like, Lord, will you just speak up, please? Because I would really like to know that this is you, and I would like it to be so clear. It's like I read in the Old Testament, you wrote on the wall, like, here's my pen, can you write? You know, here's a piece of paper, Lord. In fact, I know a story of one person who was praying and asking God to give them an answer, and put out a notebook and a pen and went to bed thinking that when they woke up in the morning, there would be something written on the piece of paper. Guess what? There wasn't. But I think that's where we all live. It's like, God, you're God. Can't you speak clearer? But He doesn't. I've written in the pastor's pen for you. God can shout. Yet when it comes to the human heart, He whispers. Why? Because when He shouts, we have no option but to obey. There will come a time when He comes back with a shout. And the Bible says that at that time, every knee will bow. But I believe He whispers because He wants to see whether our hearts want to listen or not. Because when it's just a gentle whisper, we can easily ignore it. We can just go about our day and we can just like, oh yeah, I can sort this one out. Got my diary, got my calendar, got my phone, got my laptop, got my lunch, I'm fine. But I believe God wants to talk to our hearts far more than we realize. So we're going to zero in a little bit on that today, and we're going to start by looking at the promise and the process, because it's the promise that gives us faith. We need to know the word. We need to know the promises in the word so we can go to that and we can say, Lord, you said. And it's not because He needs reminding. He already wrote it. It's because our heart needs reminding. And because our heart needs something to latch hold of that says, God, you said, so I can believe for that. So let's start with a couple of promises that God has made. The first one is John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sometimes we have not a clue where we're going. And the reason why is because we're not hearing His voice. It's said in the pastor's pen, it's a voice. Doesn't necessarily mean words. God's first language is not English. Some of you who English is your second language are going, yay! Sorry, whatever your native language is, that's not His first language either. He speaks in so many creative ways. And that's part of the adventure. God wants you to have the delight of discovering His voice. Whether it's numbers on a digital clock. Whether it's something that happens during the day. An unusual incident. Whether it's a picture that He gives you and you go, what the heck's that all about? Or whether it's just a subtle whisper that you hear on the inside. They're all part of the delight of our relationship with Him. So let's have a look at the second promise. John 16, 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Jesus speaking. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is in us for is to actually help us hear and sense the things of God. He is the Spirit of God. So we have this hotline to heaven. But many times we're not recognizing the hotline. Many times there are things that God is saying to us and we don't pick up on them. Who's discovered that? That you've gone somewhere, you've just felt something, you've got a word, or you just feel like you should buy that certain item, it's just stood out to you, and you get home, you didn't do it, and you went, oh, I think that was God. Who's had a prophetic word and hasn't given it? See a few hands up. Yes. A lot of us have been there. I remember, like, we try to make it here like it's not scary to step out and give a prophetic word. I remember years and years ago now when I was learning to step out in the prophetic, we were in a church in California. It was fine. It was a bit of a culture challenge for me being in a different setup there in California. But we had a visiting ministry come through by the name of Roberts Leiden. Now, if any of you are familiar with Roberts Leiden, he is a prophet, number one. Number two, he is highly scary. He's the sort of guy that will look at you and you just feel like, what does he see? What does he know? You know, he has those eyes that just seem so penetrating. Well, he was a visiting ministry. That was fine. I was quite happy with that. What I wasn't happy with was that God gave me a prophetic word. It's like, no, not me, Lord. Somebody else. Somebody else in this room. But what it made it really, 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 really bad was that Roberts Leiden knew that God had given somebody a prophetic word. So the whole service stopped and the steely eyes just looked around the room. And it's like, I was so scared. I was scared that he would see me. I was scared to go up. I sat down so he wouldn't see me. It's like, I'll write it down. Then I'll feel fine. It's like, I've discharged it. Written out the prophetic word that I've got. It's trying to write anyway. I was so nervous. All the time saying, God, why have you given me this? He's a prophet. I don't want to prophesy in front of a prophet. Not him anyway. If it's wrong, he will tell me it's wrong. You know, I still know that prophetic word. I still carry that because I never really fully released it. And you'll probably find the same too, that if you've had something that's from God and you haven't released it, you're still carrying it. See, it's a spirit entity. And we're given them to release them. But it all starts with being able to hear from God. So if you made big blunders, that's fine. We've all been there. So I want to back up this morning and I want to talk about capturing the voice of God. Because I think that's where it starts. So we're going to look at the scripture regarding process. And it's in Habakkuk, which is the Old Testament, chapter 2. And it's a prophet. Habakkuk is a prophet, so he writes what he is doing. So we're going to look through it. Starting with verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart to watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. A lot of us are familiar with verse 2, but first one is the precursor to this. We're going to go through this quite quickly this morning. There is a guy called Mark Verkler who has done a great teaching on this called Four Keys of Hearing God. So if you want to check that out some more, I would recommend you go to his material. But I've made it five, so let's come back and we're going to look at the verse and we're going to look at some key words there. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart to watch, to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. It's five aspects there. He doesn't do number one, but I think number one's important. This one is stop, stand, stop, look, listen, write. I'm going to touch on those different areas because they're really important. The first one I want to talk about is stand. To me, this speaks of being in a place of prayer. And Jesus says in Luke 18 that man ought always to pray. But I think even going beyond that, when he talked about standing his watch upon the watchtower, he went up, like in the old days they had the cities and they had watchtowers to watch out for enemy coming. And they would have people that would go up into these watchtowers and their job was to keep an eye out. And to me it speaks of being in that place of prayer. And it's very easy to sometimes see prayer as just something that we do here and there. But if you really want to start hearing from God, I encourage you to stand in a place of prayer. In other words, this time I have set aside to pray and to seek God. Because he said that if we seek him, we will find him. And many times we're not hearing the voice of God to the extent that we want to hear the voice of God because we're not taking that place in prayer. So it really starts there. And as we seek him, he does answer. Second aspect is stop. It's quietening yourself to hear. And sometimes we're just rushing here and there and we're not picking up what God wants to say to us. That reference there in 1 Kings 19:12 is where it says that God speaks in a still, small voice. We've already talked about the fact that we wish it didn't have small in there. So that whole thing of just quieting ourselves. And sometimes it's just learning to do some practical things. Like I always have a notebook and a pen, well, a pad and a pen. Because they're to write down the thoughts like, oh, don't forget you've got to ring so-and-so. If I'm trying to hold on to that thought, it's very hard to actually just quieten myself before the Lord. So I'll write those things down. Or I'll use music to help. And a lot of people love to just soak in music. Many times we have to quieten ourselves from all the noise and distraction. Third area, look. It's interesting that the scripture says, I will watch to hear. There's a mixture there. He doesn't say I'll listen to hear or I'll watch to see, but I will watch to hear. God speaks to us in different ways, and many of us have familiarity with hearing God in one way, but the Lord likes to mix it up. But the more that we activate our imagination, and for some of us, our imagination has been an area that we have used for imagining the wrong things. And so we're reluctant to let our imagination loose. Well, we don't stop using our hands for good just because at some stage we use them for evil. Don't stop using your imagination for good. Don't shut it down. God wants us to use our imagination because many times it's the canvas that he'll speak on and he'll paint pictures on. A lot of the people who prophesied this morning, they had pictures. They had to have their imagination actually operating and flowing and free. Listen, sometimes we're talk, 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 talk. And I think sometimes that's because we're nervous that if we listen, we won't hear. Have you been in a situation like that where it's like, I don't know that I want to be quiet because if I'm quiet, will I really hear you, Lord? And the Lord knows our insecurity. Take a risk. And just be still and listen. Mark 4:9 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have a heart to hear God, the Lord's saying, you will hear because you've got a heart to hear. Number 5, write. Write the vision or write the revelation. And this is where we're going to zero in on the whole aspect of capturing what God wants to say to us. In Revelation 1:11, the reference that I've got there is where Jesus speaks to John on the Isle of Patmos and he says to him, write what you see. And I think many times it's because we don't know to steward what God is giving us that we don't grow in what God is giving us. So it's this aspect that I really want to zero in on today. It's the aspect of writing it or stewarding it or putting it on your phone, typing it into your laptop, whatever. Start to steward what you feel like God is saying to you. I never did that for years and years. And I think maybe some of it came from boarding school. It's like if you wrote a diary or journal in boarding school, you were very game. Because when you were in a dorm full of kids, your diary could go missing. So you tended to keep diaries non-existent or well hidden. So when it came to writing what God was saying to me, I started off, I was so nervous, but I was nervous that somebody else would read what I wrote. It's like, okay, Lord, help me with this one. Get a so-so, right? Yeah. So let's talk about the power of journaling. Because I think this is important and it does help so much. If you want to grow in hearing the voice of God, you want to grow in the prophetic, then I encourage you to start to journal. And the reason why is that, number one, when you start to write, you tap into flow. What happens when God gives you something, like he gives you a picture of an elephant? The first thing your mind's going to say is, oh, that's stupid. Why would you see an elephant? Or it's going to say, oh, you were watching a nature program last night. That's why you saw an elephant. Our mind is quick to jump in, to start examining, to doubt, to question, all those things. So when you start to journal, what happens is that you put a pause on your brain. And the reason that you put a pause on your brain is because you can come back later and you can read what you've written. Your mind starts to relax. It's like, okay, I can look at this later and I can tell you if I think this is all stupid. So it frees you to say, okay, I'm just going to start writing and writing and writing and writing, and I will look at what I've written when I have finished. And that's, to me, is the almost the biggest aspect of writing and journaling what you believe God is saying, is because it taps into this flow. And in, I believe it's John, Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The movement of the Spirit has a flow to it. And if you're prophesying over somebody, you'll find even that you'll be speaking and speaking and speaking, and suddenly the flow stops and it's like, ah. And it almost feels wrong, because when we finish, we go down. Ta-da, all finished. But because you don't know the flow's going to stop, you're just talking along and you're just on the same level. And it feels untidy. But the flow has stopped. And it's that flow that we really want to tap into. Second reason, it helps to create a dialogue between us and the Lord. As you start to talk backwards and forwards and writing, you can write what you believe God is saying, you can respond to that, and you end up with this conversation. If you've never done this before, I really encourage you to start doing it, to trial it out and see what happens. You can always burn it later if you're really worried. Third area, we capture what the Lord is saying to us, creates a record of inspired thoughts and revelation. You end up with this amazing record that you can go back through and you can come back to again and again and say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? The big question that all of us have, though, is this God? And our time's up, so I'm just going to go quickly through these. We won't worry about stopping. If you have a camera, you can take a photo of that. You can look at it later.